Welcome to Bankless Africa, a podcast by Africans on building and innovating Web3 into a new frontier for the people of Africa. I'm your host, Miss Purple, and each episode, I get together with some wonderful people across the continent and the diaspora to talk, ideate, and dream about the bright future of our people. Stay tuned for another exciting episode. The Africa Web3 Summit, hosted by Web3 Accra in Ghana on the 23rd and 24th of February last week, held a myriad of panels. We managed to get some of them on recording, and we will share them with you throughout this coming week. We'll start first with the Society on Chain panel, moderated by Cointelegraph's Elisha Owusu, with panelists Damien Duchamp, a Web3 enthusiast and university professor in the tourism sector, Ayola John, the product lead for the Coinbase NFT wallet, Bankless Africa's very own Think Decade, as well as Fatima Tambajang, who attended the summit in her individual capacity, but also works with NVIDIA Africa. The panelists shared their opinions, discussed some ideas, and hopefully spark an intentional curiosity in many of us who listen. We hope you enjoy.
We're going to have Think Decade from Bankless. We are going to have Ayola John, who is a product lead for NFTs at Coinbase Wallet. And we're also going to have Damien Duchamp, who's a Web3 enthusiast. This is going to be a very interesting conversation. I really look forward to it. So, Elisha, can I please welcome you to the stage? Elisha. Oh, there he is. I like this t-shirt. Where did you get it from? Yeah, please give another round of applause for Elisha. This guy's doing really good work at Cointelegraph. He's previously worked at Binance. Young guy coming up in this space. Keep an eye out.
Hello, everyone. Good to be back here again. So I'm just going to introduce the people we have on the panel real quick, and then we can get started. So we have someone who has been a friend of mine for a while, Fatima from NVIDIA. Please come up the stage now. And then we have Think Decade from Bankless Africa. And then we have Ayola John. I'm really excited that he's coming on. I'm sure most of you are new to what's happening here, but Coinbase just announced their own network, or should I say, layer 2 platform. So I have questions for him. And then finally, we have Damien Duchamp, who's an Web3 enthusiast. Okay, so if you've forgotten already, because Del just said it, this panel is dubbed Society on Chain. But before we get started, I'm going to let each person on the panel introduce themselves and tell us what they're doing that is related to Web3 or just related to financial technology or the technology space. So I'll start with Ayola.
Testing. OG. All right, hey everyone. My name is Ayola John. Born in Niger. I'm currently based in the States. I'm just excited to be here, obviously. In terms of what I do right now, I'm a product lead. I lead NFTs for Coinbase Wallet. So one of the things I'm most excited about is just to like learn about how you're using crypto, how you're using NFTs, and figure out how to like come and like actually support people in the community. So please, like, let's talk.
Also, Fatima.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Fatima Tambajang. I work with NVIDIA, but I'm here on a personal capacity. I've been in the crypto space since 2018. It's a full circle moment, actually. I used to work with Elijah when he was still in high school, and he was teaching me things. So yeah, super excited to be here.
Awesome. Your turn. GM, everyone. My name is Ding Nikit. Bankless DAO Grants Committee member at DAO Bank, founded by the Bankless Africa. So, yeah. Did you say Grants Committee? Oh, you guys have money. We'll talk about that. Yeah. Good job.
Hello, Hello, everyone. Damien Duchamp from New York, U.S., and I'm the executive director for Hospitalented, which is more in the hospitality and tourism space, and I'm really interested in tapping into what Web3 can do to promote tourism, especially in Ghana. And then my primary role is I'm an online learning specialist, so I've been working for years to try to find creative ways to get education to people that can't access it. Not everybody can afford it, and there are a lot of barriers to getting to it, and I think there's a lot of answers within Web3.
Interesting. I think there's a lot that we'll definitely discuss concerning that. So I'm going to go back to Ayola. I'm just going to go around and try and figure out what chains you all use, like what networks you guys are interested in. So what chains are usually the chain with on the blockchain or should I say the Web3 space?
Yeah, so for me, I got into this whole crypto thing through when I really started putting money in crypto was during the 2015, bull market. So I was buying things like XRP and like all these things. And I was buying some things I didn't remember the name of because they've all disappeared. I think more recently, I've spent a lot more time in like Solana. I grew up on Solana because I was there when they first created Solana, and I was just getting the feel of it, what's going on. And then after I spent a lot of time in Solana, I figured out how to make money on Solana. I was just flipping NFTs, made money. And then I got into ETH. That's where the big boys are. So I had to get into ETH, and now I kind of play with that. But I think these days, I'm a lot more focused on where's the communities? What are they doing? How can I tap into, actual human beings, because, money is good, but, sometimes you have to connect to other people. So right now, for example, I'm an Afropolitan citizen as well, just trying to, figure out how to actually meet people, connect, come to this part of town, meet more people. That's really what I'm focused on these days. So I'll say mostly Solana, ETH, Polygon, and I'm also looking at some new chains like Sui, which the guy that's building Sui is a Niger guy as well. He had raised $300 million to build the blockchain. So I'm always looking for those connections.
Interesting. Before I ask you the question I have based on what you said, do we have any Solana fans here?
Let's go.
Okay, so I'm not going to die. Is Solana dead? That's my question for you. We'll get to that in a bit. Before I come to Fatima, I think Becky, what chains are you playing with?
I'm a multi-chainer, Optimism, Arbitrum, Polygon, Avalanche. Yeah, a little bit of Solana, but like you said, it's a bit dead right now. Recently, Kanto, very interesting experiment happening over there.
Okay, Fatima.
I think I'll take it from another angle. You mentioned something about connecting people, right? So when I was working on a blockchain that was developed by one of the other speakers called Kofi Genfi, what we were doing, working with Elijah specifically, was regulation, right? So looking at how are we saying the messaging. And I remember at the time, we couldn't even call it a cryptocurrency. We had to call it a token. I think the day before launch, we had, regulators knocking on our door, trying to stop the project. We were able to launch it and so forth. So that's more the angle that I've been looking at crypto, how to democratize it and make it understandable to, I guess, the everyday man.
Awesome. Good job.
I play mostly with ETH, and I'm most interested in the opportunity to do fractional shares as a way of democratizing access, because that's one of the biggest things when I think about Ghana. There's a lot of people that are interested, but not everybody can afford it. And so if you can find creative ways through fractional shares, then everybody can have a piece.
Interesting. Personally, I'm a layer 2 person. So I'm on Ethereum, and then I'm mostly playing with the layer 2 platforms, Optimism, Arbitrum. Recently, ZK Sync. There's not much to do there yet, but with the ZK Sync era coming up next month, hopefully there'll be more to do. So yeah, interesting to see how we are all interacting with the Web3 space. I'm going to go back to Fatima, and I want you to explain why you think that access to Web3 and Web3 applications is extremely important, because before we get to the conversation on what Africa would look like on chain, we need to understand why we are even pushing for such a world moving forward.
I think think I'll just use mobile money for an example, right? So it started as M-Pesa in Kenya, 2007, 2008. And the fintech that we worked with, we were the first in Ghana to achieve financial interoperability, which essentially just means being able to connect Tigo to Vodafone, Vodafone to MTN and so forth. And what we saw was, I think we got a call when we were working that someone was able to send their mom money from Accra to another village, and they're just able to get financial accessibility instantly. So when you're thinking about Web3, crypto comes into a lot of people's minds, right? So I think that's a clear use case. I mean, considering the downturn in the winter, it is very tricky to push it into the mainstream conversation. So exploring other ways such as land registration. A lot of people have issues with land, right? But it's one thing going from talking about it to actually doing it. So I'm super interested in seeing more of the builders in the room. I know there's a few people here who actually build on blockchain and have prototypes out, but I think that's equally as important.
Awesome. So you mentioned a couple of use cases and we are going to dive into it when we begin the discussion on what Africa would look like on chain or what our society would look like on chain. And Chomp mentioned something really interesting about fractionalizing NFTs. So what is the idea behind that? Maybe you could explain it to the audience and show us how, kind of describe, not show because we don't have laptops here, but describe how that would work with Ethereum, the Ethereum blockchain specifically.
So the mechanism is still in the air in the sense that there's a couple of platforms that are doing fractional shares, but I haven't adopted one yet. But the idea, which I think is more important, is that from a tourism perspective, I see NFTs as a way to give people around the world a taste of what Ghana has to offer. So working with photographers, videographers in Ghana, they can capture moments and experiences. And the idea that I'm working towards is that we basically barter. We take the image, we take the clip, we mint it, and we use a fractional approach so that they own a certain amount of the fractional shares, and then we can distribute the rest to other people. Because in my mind, in the metaverse, some random guy in New York shouldn't own the Tafe Tome Monkey Sanctuary. That should be owned by Ghanaians. But most Ghanaians will never be able to afford ETH at the going rates. So if you fractionalize it, then it's accessible and you can give it, you can gift it in smaller increments.
That's an amazing idea. So we're going to do a bit of NFT conversation back and forth, because on the other end is Ayola, who is working with Coinbase wallets and specifically on NFTs. So Ayola, what has been the trend? What has the trend looked like when it comes to how Africans are interacting with NFTs currently?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, what I've seen with Africans and NFTs, and I have to start by saying, to be honest, like, I was born in Niger, I went to Yankee, and I haven't been back in a long time. So a lot of what I know from just like all my friends and like studying what's going on. But now I'm here and I want to spend more time really understanding what people are actually doing. But I've made a lot of friends on Solana, just in like different, you know, NFT communities and different Discords and different Telegrams. So I know that like there are a lot of people that are collecting NFTs, joining communities. I know there's a lot of people that are looking to like make money, you know, like let's not sugarcoat it. There's a lot of people buying NFTs so they can flip it and make money. Like I know there's that game. And I think, you know, for me, I spent a lot of time playing that game. I figured out a lot of strategies as well. So I think a big part of what I've seen with a lot of African communities, like some people are like here making art, that's great. Some people are here trying to make money, that's also great. Some people are here trying to like start their own collections, trying to start their own companies, that's also great. And I think with blockchains, like low-cost blockchains like Solana, you know, in the future coming up, like things like Sui, it's going to be much cheaper, much more accessible. And I think that's what I'm really excited about. I think none of these use cases are wrong. Obviously, for me personally, I want to see, you know, I want to see this thing get bigger, right? If you look at Web3 right now, there's only 3 million people actively participating in Web3 every day. It's not a lot of people. You know, I used to work at Instagram, and I launched features to a billion people, to 2 billion people, and 3 million people is just a small experiment. She understands. So, like, I want to see this market really grow, And I think the growth is here. And I'll talk a lot about why I think the growth is here, but that's sort of what I've seen people from Africa do with NFTs.
Why is the growth here?
So I think there's a few reasons. One, I mean, you probably not shocked, right? Like, you've probably not seen a lot of Coinbase around, right? Because, I, you know, it's like, you've probably seen a lot of Binance around. I think one something that Binance understands is that, like, look at this crowd. It's a weekday right now. So it's a Thursday. Like, I'm sure you'll have jobs. You'll have things to do. Well, you're here, right? And the reason why you're here is because this matters to you. And why this matters to you, I won't understand more. But, like, the fact is, you're here, right? This is not normal for you to, like, not be at work right now. And I think for me, like, seeing that, that's, like, for me, tangible proof. Like, you can look at the data, you can look at the evidence, but, like, you're here. I'm like, and so for me, I'm like, oh, like, if these people are here and there's more people that want to be here, like, this is, like, organic growth that I can see with my own two eyes. When you look at the data, like, you know, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, we're seeing the high use cases around P2P. It's becoming huge. And so for me, I'm looking at data, but I'm also here right now looking at the people. I'm like, oh, like, this is happening here. And the other thing I want to say is, in terms of the opportunity we're talking about here, right, like, you know, a lot of people look at Web3 and they're like, oh, it's about decentralization. I agree, it's about decentralization. For me, Web3 is really about reimagination. It's like, hey, when people were building Opera browser, when people were building Google, when people were building Google Chrome, like, you were not there. Like, when people were building Facebook, you were not there. Possibly because you were young, possibly because you didn't have the internet, possibly because you didn't have laptops, or you didn't have the knowledge on how to go build those things. But, like, now you can. And it's like, 10 years from now, there's going to be another Google Chrome. It's going to be built on Web3, right? That's why I'm working on the wallet, because I can finally build the next Google Chrome. And it's like, if you're not thinking about that, then, like, you should be thinking about that. It's like, I want to be the one that builds the next browser that everyone uses. I want to be the one that builds the next thing that everyone uses. And there's never been a time in the last decade where this opportunity exists. And that's why I'm looking at everybody here. I'm like, my life is a testimony to the fact that, like, I'm here building the next Google Chrome. You know what I mean? And so it's like, that's why I'm really excited about this opportunity.
Okay, think the kid. When it comes to on-chain activity by Africans, I think NFTs and trading NFTs or just minting NFTs has become one of the most popular. From your perspective, what are the use cases, or how are NFTs changing the way Africans operate?
So the first one is, I guess, governance. This is really important. And I think that maybe our outline, like a mental model, for how we transition as Africans to the on-chain world, right? One of the use cases is governance. And for most decentralized communities, if you hold an NFT, you are able to participate in decision-making, right? So some communities have NFTs that if you hold it, you can vote, right? And then they use protocols or platforms such as Snapshots, or Commonwealth, where you can token lead your community. And then the people with access to the NFT are the only people who can vote. So this is one very key on-chain activity that I think a couple of Africans that I know and communities are beginning to use. But then it's not prevalent. I think the education is lacking, but again, we are going to be talking more like future stuff. So I guess it's like, it's going to be like a gradual progress.
So in building a society on chain, we are going to need a lot of creators. Creators here could be developers, people making ads, people who write, people who talk, even people who sing. There are people singing crypto songs abroad. For people that are looking to create, they are going to need some sort of like a roadmap or understanding of how to deal with the current ecosystem we find ourselves in. So I'm going to throw this question to Fatima, since you've been with a startup, a company that was building for crypto. What are some of the things these builders or creators should have on their checklist? How should they just approach building from the Ghanaian perspective?
I think it's being tactile, right? How did we find you, right? So we found Elijah Prasek, by the way. I think we saw an oracle and we physically had to go to the school, like I think 3 or 4 times to knock him down, right? So a lot of us operate in silos, and the unfortunate thing is you have to be the one to fragment the market yourself and then piece it together. So there isn't a roadmap. And I think that's the opportunity, but that's also the curse of doing it. I'll talk about AI a bit as well, right? So when I'm not in crypto, I work in AI in the same company as well. I think back in 2016, we were writing think pieces of AI. We were going to banks on AI. No one wanted to even talk to us, but you unfortunately have to do the quote-unquote donkey work. And I do think right now, when it comes to Web3, that's where we are. So you have to do a lot of talking, you have to do a lot of building. But I think the best success is just product. I mean, ChatGPT has come out, right, and it's gone viral. Every day is OpenAI. A lot of stocks within GPU companies are doing well. So I think when it comes to Web3 as well, a lot of people are constantly stalking it, because criticism that I hear a lot within the gaming ecosystem is, okay, outside of crypto, I haven't seen anything that Web3 has done that can affect an everyday person's lives. I think everyone in this room is, you know, it's a, like, what is it, 10%? Is it representative of 10% of the population? I doubt it, right? So I do think sometimes we have these conversations here and then we exit and then they don't trickle. So it's kind of like perhaps you go back to school and doing workshops with your science class or the student club that you're in and so forth. So it's just, how granular can you really get? I know Web3 is planning on doing boot camps, right? So that'll be an opportunity to do that.
I will tell a funny story. Probably not as funny because I'm personally not funny, but I was in Presec. And for those of you who don't know what Presec is, it's a high school. And I was going through my day and I heard two gentlemen were looking for me at the administration. And that was weird because my whole family, it's mostly women. No men come looking for me. So I was scared. I thought I was in trouble. And then I show up and it's Kofi Jemfi and Niosai. I don't know if they are here, but they're from Mazuma. And they're like, oh, we came to see you because we want to work with you. And I was so sure. So sometimes, yeah, it was an out-of-the-box idea going to someone's school to go look for them. But I guess when it comes to building the Web3, based on the kind of situation we find ourselves in, probably how to do these things that are kind of out of the box. So the chunk, you spoke about creators and giving them a fraction of their ownership. And I'm going to move from what Fatima said concerning us having people from here creating and how they should go about it to why creators should use the blockchain as a means of creating their platform. So I think one of the biggest conversations in the NFT space right now is creator royalties, whether platforms are paying the royalties to these creators or not. And I think your conversation about having fractions of these NFTs and just giving it to the creators kind of solves some of the conversation around creator royalties. But why would you advise a creator to choose the blockchain as their means of building whatever product it is that they want to build?
I think it depends on the creator. I think one thing that I've learned over the years from, you know, once upon a time, I used to be a concert producer. And I used to, you know, I'm the son of two artists. And so I've lived a little bit in that world. And I think that one thing that I've gained from being around a lot of artists is knowing that they're not always tech savvy or business savvy, but they're amazing artists. And so you're going to have different channels that are going to work for different creatives. For some of them, it's going to be the blockchain because it just makes sense to them and they see that they can have access to a much bigger world. For others, they're going to shy away from that. I think the ones that do embrace the blockchain are going to see that they can have a whole lot more access and a lot more opportunity for collaboration. I see creatives that use everything that the Web3 has to offer as opening up new possibilities. And I think in ways that we still haven't imagined. So.
Interesting. Let me go to Coinbase NFTs. How are you planning on helping African creators and making it easier for them to build for NFT specifically, people in the music, basically arts in general?
Yeah, this is something I'm thinking a lot about. And like I said, that's why I really want to start. I want to spend time, like even after this, like talking to people to understand what you're working on and how I can support. I've been having a lot of conversations with people that are building in the space, investing in the space. And I'm like, okay, like how can we help? Like what interest can I make? What can I build? Like those kinds of things are things I want to hear more of. In terms of the way I'm thinking about it, like I want to make it as easy, just this is like my personal opinion, not Coinbase's opinion, but like I want to make it really easy for people to create NFTs, like as easy as it is for you to make a TikTok video, right? I want to make it really easy for everyone to create NFTs, but it's not enough to just create those NFTs. Like I want to make it really easy for you to like find distribution for those NFTs, right? Like because like I want you to get paid making those NFTs. I want you to get opportunities making those NFTs. I think those are the things that I'm personally, like I spend a lot of my brain power thinking about, because at the end of the day, right, you can sugarcoat it all you want, but we're all born into this world and we have to figure out how to make money. We have to eat, right? And so whether, you know, whether you're passionate about something, whether you care about something, like you still have to eat. And so at the end of the day, right, ideally, I want you to be working on something you're really passionate about, but I also want you to eat at the same time. And that's a lot of what I'm thinking about.
Awesome. Let's get into specific use cases. We discussed a bit on tourism, so I'm going to ask Think Decade. What other thing do you think we need to transition on chain as a society beyond NFTs, beyond tourism?
So, first, there is going to be, in fact, I'm going to start at the individual level. The thing about blockchain or crypto is that it is powered by peer-to-peer, right? And transitioning from the real world to on-chain world, it has a philosophical perspective to it. So now, as an individual, how can I operate on-chain? That should be like the first question. Currently, how can you operate on-chain? Well, you can join a community, a DAO to be specific, right? You can join a DAO, you can have a Web3 wallet. And the thing is that everything you do on the blockchain is encoded forever, right? These are on-chain activities. So communities that operate on-chain, like they have voting systems, they have coordination systems. For example, I'll use a practical example, Bankless Africa. Our community, we have a shared treasury, a multisig. And every payment that goes out of the multisig is tracked. You can look at it on-chain. And so since we launched, any payment that we ever make to anyone, to any wallet, you can track it. This is really, really important because blockchain enables radical transparency and accountability. So you can go back in time and audit all of our activities. That is the multisig thing. For community members who are contributing and doing stuff within the community, you want to be able to start tracking those activities on-chain, right? So if you are doing project management or tasks, there are blockchain project management protocols or softwares that you can use to keep track. So if you are a designer within Bankless Africa and there is a design task and you do it, we can mint the task that you have done on-chain and you would have an NFT to represent the task that you have done, right? If you are engaging in operations, marketing, etc. So now what you are beginning to have is a community that is tracking almost every activity. And you know, designing is not like really a Web3 thing, but you make it Web3 when the task can be verified on-chain. So with time, when you pick an individual's wallet, if you pick my wallet, and again, there are wallet tracking softwares like Zappa or Zerion. If you put my ENS in there or my wallet address in there, any activity or all of the activities that I have ever done on-chain, you'll be able to track it. And this is where it gets interesting. It's a way of building your CV, your on-chain CV, right? So we are progressing to a society where you are no more going to drop a CV to someone. I can go on-chain, you can tell me your wallet address and I'll go on-chain and track all of the activities that you have done. And I'll know that you are qualified for the work. So that is where we are getting to. So the decentralized autonomous organizations are able to track member activities and any kind of activity. We use Wonderverse. Wonderverse is a project management platform. And there's also D-Work, right? Any activity that you do, we can track it. Even when you attend meetings, we issue POAPs. I don't know how many of you know of POAPs, proof of attendance. We issue, and then collectively, in a month, you can track the number of community meetings you have attended. And then when we are doing rewards, we can say, we can pick wallet and say that, okay, we are looking for people who attended 50% plus of community meetings. And we don't have to ask anyone. We look at the community wallet addresses and we send funds. And so the ability to be able to use the blockchain to track tasks, right? To track tasks changes everything, and it changes a lot of things. And like I said, most of these tracks are, these tasks are minted on-chain as NFTs, and some are minted as SBTs, soulbound tokens. But that's just a little bit of.
Also, that's a very vivid explanation of the use case of blockchain technology in community building, and just like as an individual, trying to figure out how to build yourself. I think we mentioned a lot of opportunities, but this is something that we don't talk about enough at Ghanaian events and the Ghanaian space. I don't know why, because Nigerians are always talking about it. How many of you have heard of airdrops? Okay, I was right. So, a lot of people. But airdrops, basically, they are community events, token generation events where, let's say today, I launch a platform and I ask all of you to use the platform. Some of you use it once, some of you use it 10 times, some of you use it 30 times. Because I want the community to have ownership of the platform, I'm going to issue a token and I'm going to reward the users of the token in accordance to how active they were on the platform when I didn't have a token. And then the question would be, so why do I want a random token? These projects are not random projects. They are big projects with $1 billion valuations, with lots of users, which means that the token or the community-based token, which is being given out for free, or should I say in exchange for your activity on the platform, usually holds a lot of value. So over the last week, there was the Blair airdrop. It's an NFT platform, and people made thousands of dollars. There has been Optimism, there has been Uniswap, there has been ENS, etc. So that's another interesting thing about society on chain. It's not just about you being an end user day in, day out, but you are equally also getting rewarded for using this particular platform. So please do look into airdrops. It's a good way to make money from like 10 AI, I guess. So we always take some questions from the community or audience now. If you have any questions, please raise your hand and the microphone will come your way. The topic for this is society on chain. So let's ask questions. Yes, there's someone at the back. There's a lady at the back. Okay, someone's bringing the microphone.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for talking today. I had a question just about integrating Web3 into brick and mortar businesses. For those of us who already have online businesses and we want to integrate Web3 and NFTs into what we're doing. Like right now, I build websites for other companies, entrepreneurs, and they always ask about like, oh, how can I put a Bitcoin link on my website? You know, now we're just using like their address or putting their wallet address or something, but a lot of people are trying to figure out how do we just make it a payment system that's just on the website and doesn't have to go through two or three channels to get to it, whether they're in the diaspora or they are in Ghana.
Great question. Who wants to go first?
I can talk about it from the Coinbase side. We have some software developer kits, so SDKs. We have a Coinbase Pay, which is something, depending on how technical you want to go, you can integrate with the SDK. It's like the code is relatively simple. There are also other payment processors like Solana Pay is another big one, and I've used it before. It's very seamless actually, and we're continuing to work on things like that. But if anyone else has ideas of things,
probably a more I guess decentralized would be the Bitcoin like Lightning Network. So that is one thing that you want to be able to integrate in your website to accept Bitcoin payments. And I guess there are developers who can do the integration for you. So I would highly recommend maybe looking for a Lightning developer who can integrate it for you.
I think another thing you should just look at is, and I'll try and talk to you after, what platform are you using for your e-store? If you're using Shopify or WordPress commerce, commerce or whatever it's called, having that web development like ages, but yeah, most of them have plugins that allow you to connect your wallet to the interface of your store, which then allows you to receive things directly and then verify immediately. So a lot of these like Web2 payment processes have begun to integrate crypto. The only thing here is you need to be careful about the fees, because it could be like very expensive depending what platform you're using. But generally, it's still less expensive than traditional currency, because these credit card companies are charging like 2% on every transaction and all of that. But another thing I think would be helpful is just how to communicate this and market this to your audience. And I know Fatima has some experience like when it comes to communicating to people about the integration of crypto or just crypto. So maybe some words on that for her so that she could like probably adapt. Yeah.
No, I think Iona mentioned everything that I would have mentioned as well.
Okay. Awesome, awesome. Any other questions? Yes. There's a gentleman at the front in Ash, I believe. Yes.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think that the team mostly that has you're carrying here is education. But then another thing I realized is that so like when you're working on projects, like as a developer, so I'm going to look at it from the developer and also from the normal person. You find out that the UI of Web3 and even the language of Web3 is like, for instance, token. We say token, but token is money. So somebody who is coming fresh into the space doesn't want to hear token, he wants to hear money. You find developers that are in Web2 trying to get to Web3. When you are reading documentations, like for me, I began due to the Polygon, the first Africa Polygon hackathon. So then it's like, you go to the documentation, it's like, as a Web2 developer, you're like, oh, this is just another way of saying it. So why don't they, if anything, like you should make, let's see, parentheses or something, just for people to know that this is how it is. That's another form of education, like we're using the UI of the interfaces that you are using to show for people. Because we have certain systems that are not maybe in the financial area, maybe a Web3 space for this construction or for mining, whereby you like the geophysicist to understand it in this way. And the UI should be in ways that looks like he has to go and learn smart contracts, or has to learn a bit about Web3 just to do his job. So then even the designers, the designers and the architecture of documentation is one very, very, very user friendly in terms of like understanding.
Yeah, I think he points out a very important question, and I don't conversation if I should put it that way. And I don't know if anyone wants to contribute on this, but do you think the Web3 UI is very complex, especially in like developing countries where people already don't have a lot of knowledge of financial things? And I don't like to say this in a way that makes it look like we are looking down on the African continent, but the education level is not really high. So there's like a learning curve already for understanding like regular English or regular things that are being said. And now you're adding another barrier of Web3 jargon. So is there anything that we can do? Do you want to go? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'll frame this in terms of the United States. There's varying education in the United States as well. And I think it's more of the opposite approach. It's let's create a skin for whatever thing. We'll actually use the example of a business. Why does the public need to know that everything is powered through the blockchain? If you create a skin and they're able to enter in their debit or credit card, who cares how it's powered? It's beneficial to the business owner to do the transactions with the blockchain. And I know the POS systems and the gateways, and that's where they make all the money. The 2% charge is nothing compared to what the banks are making. So I think we should really create skins that are familiar with whatever the audience is, and then underneath, power it by the blockchain.
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah, so in terms of education, I guess that's where Bankless Africa and Bankless DAO comes in. I'm not going to talk about, we've spoken about the US. So what Bankless Africa is doing right now, we have media outlets in local languages. So we launched the Bankless Africa Pidgin Palo crypto podcast. So if it's not on your radar, I highly recommend you put it on your radar. And we speak Pidgin, right? And we broke down all of the complex terms into Pidgin language. And one of our guests made a very interesting example, and he was like, someone was explaining crypto to him, a concept in crypto, and the person was using vending machine. I was like, dude, there is no vending machine. I don't know what vending machine is, right? So being able to localize the education is very, very important. And English is not our first tongue, right? And so for all of the communities that do education, I would highly recommend that you start including local languages. So that is the education.
Okay, I think we have one last question. Do you have your hands up? Okay, let's go ahead.
Okay,
I'm good.
We did talk about airdrops and the benefit of getting rewarded from airdrops. How do you find these airdrops? I know in the past when there's going to be an IPO or a launch of a project, they do them. But if someone wants to benefit from them, how do you go about that?
Okay, I'm going to speak a bit about this around it. I will also come in. The thing is, I think it kind of also defeats the purpose of what you are trying to create as a project if you are actively telling people that there would be an airdrop. So even if the project is ever going to concede or confirm that they are going to do an airdrop, they never do it openly before they do it. Usually it's like, we are going to reward any users and that's the best you would get. Or you have developers just saying random things that could mean that they are doing an airdrop. So like there's Arbitrum, which is a layer 2 platform that hasn't done their airdrop yet. I am happy to bet everything that they would, but they don't actively say it. And the reason is, we don't want people only coming in for the economic incentive. As Ayola said, people don't want to do these things for free, but they are equally also trying to attract people who genuinely care about the technology and have genuine use cases for the technology. And so the way you figure out if a project is going to do an airdrop, I think is really simple. One, is the project a project that probably needs a token? Or is the project a project in a niche where tokens have existed before? So Coinbase just launched a layer 2 network today, like a couple of minutes ago. If I ask him if they're going to do an airdrop, he's going to say no. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't think it's true, it says no. But anyway, point is, what I can then do is, because Coinbase has launched a network on the Ethereum layer 2, a layer 2 network I mean on Ethereum, I know that other layer 2 platforms have done airdrops in the past. So based on that historical precedence, I can assume that there may be an airdrop down the road. It's sort of a gamble, but then if you are reading a lot of cryptocurrency news, you are checking out a lot of these profiles on Twitter that do threats on airdrops, you're definitely going to find them. But then I think also, and I'm sure some people will smile about this because this is the best advice actually. Don't look at it as a gaming thing where you're trying to game the system. Just genuinely use platforms that you enjoy that probably don't have tokens and you're going to end up getting rewarded. I think ENS, Ethereum naming system, when I bought the ENS name, I wasn't doing it because I thought there was going to be an airdrop. I was pleasantly surprised when the airdrop happened. So I think that's another thing that you can look at. Ayola, then think.
Yeah, so some exactly what he said. There's right now, if you want to find airdrops, there's an app called I think it's called Daylight, and I can show you afterwards. They just like you just sign up and they'll just find all the airdrops that are going on and then you know give it to you. This is not my app, Coinbase, not Coinbase app, but it's a good app. There's also a blockchain that's launching their mainnet later this year. It's called Sui, SUI. And like I said, one of the founders is an African guy, and they just raised $300 million. So like obviously they're going to do an airdrop, right? And so like if you just go in there right now and you start, you know, they're still out there, they're still testing. If you help them test and test, like the chances that you'll get the airdrop very high. And so like you were saying, just go and actually be useful, like do something for them, try out the network, give them feedback, tell them, oh, this is broken, this is not working. When they are ready to drop at 300 million, they'll probably drop it to you. So that's how I would go about that.
Yeah, it's not serious alpha. He knows the founder, so probably he knows what to say.
I don't know anything.
So it's also quite funny because we are literally talking about on-chain activities. And your on-chain activities is what will determine whether you get the airdrop or not. And there are certain situations where the more you have on-chain activities, the more you have airdrops. So Blair, for example, if you use the Blair platform in a lot of ways, they have criteria, right? Depending on the number of criteria that you have done, and they are all basically activities on chain, right? And then they just look at it and they give you more airdrop. There were people who got close to a million from airdrops, right? So it's really important. Now, in terms of how do you know about airdrops? He touched on briefly. Crypto uses a lot of Twitter. So make sure that you're active on crypto Twitter. It's a whole world on its own. You get a lot of information. Use platforms like DeFi Llama, right? They have a page where you can filter all of the upcoming projects and they'll tell you whether they have tokens or not, right? So make sure that you use these platforms. And again, being part of communities are very, very important because some of the key airdrops is our peers who come, who chance upon it, and then they tell you. So within Bankless Africa like this, we have a whole channel where we call Alpha Beta Airdrop. And we encourage the entire community to drop any link of airdrop that they come across. And if you go to the channel, it's a lot of stuff you can do. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ayola, Fatima, Dink, and the champ for this amazing panel. I hope you all learned something about society on chain and how on chain activities can make you a millionaire, or just make you a better person and make your life easier and make our state and our countries better on the African continent. This is the last time I'll be on stage, so nice meeting you all, and yeah, have an amazing rest of the event. Thank you.
Thank you for spending another episode with me. Just a reminder that none of what we share is financial advice, only opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and give us a rating on whatever platform you're listening from. We are our own wildest dreams, the hope of our own tomorrow. So until next time, keep innovating.